Hello there, Verbal Shenanigans fans. It's Scott, your boy. I want to tell you about the new sponsor we're very excited to work with. Let me try to get a work with. And that's DraftKings.com. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want. Guy gets injured, no big deal. Start again the next day. Okay? You like fantasy baseball? You get a new team every day. It's awesome. Just pick your sport and draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Over $1 billion will be won at DraftKings.com this year, and you could be the next to win. Big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code Shenanigans to play for free. That's Shenanigans for free entry now at DraftKings.com. Do it, people. All sorts of different sports you can play, whether you're an MMA fan, a golf fan, a racing fan, you name it, go to DraftKings.com, promo code Shenanigans.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. You know what that sound means, Michael Berlo.
Kevin Nash is still wrestling?
I sure hope not. But let's talk about something new and exciting and fresh and cool and clean, as the kids would say. I don't know, what's the word they use now? Unfleek. It's unfleek. That's what I heard once on the show. But we're talking about Wolf Nation here.
My favorite topic.
Nation. That is W-U-L-F. Nation. Wake up, live free. It's a clothing brand. The clothing brand that celebrates a man's beard. Mm. The ability to live free, to accomplish your dream, to not be held down by the man, to be a wolf out there.
How can you not be supporting a brand like that with that kind of description?
I don't know, but if you go and you go to Facebook at Wolf Nation, you go on Instagram at Wolf Nation, tweet at Wolf Nation, it's all there. All sorts of designs coming for adults, for kids, possibly even dogs. Mm. Maybe you can wear a Wolf Nation hoodie, maybe. Okay. Dress clothes. Gym clothes. You name it. That is Wolf Nation. Wake up. Live free.
That's the only way I live, Scotty.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah. I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Yet again, I don't really know how else do you really say that we're back, you know?
We're back in the center again. We're back.
Yeah!
That's the song I had to remember, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, we are back. We are, I guess we're here now for episode 85. 8500 staring us in the face.
It's intimidating, man, but I think we can take it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take him down like a pro athlete, you know?
The big 100th episode coming up in like 4 months.
I've sent out the invitations to the Pope, Donald Trump, all the big celebrities in Hollywood. I hope you have enough room in here.
You see the Pope has like an album coming out?
Really?
Or he's singing or something like that? I'm hoping it has like guest tracks from like Method Man and like
RZA. I want to see him cover like Marilyn Manson on that. Great. That'd be epic.
He's a pretty open Pope. He might be into it, you know.
Yeah, he seems to have a good funny bone, if you will.
Yes. But anyway, it's good to be back. We're on quite a run here. If I don't say so myself, last week was Brian Duffy, and hell of an episode. And Week before that was David Bellito. Week before that was Liam McEnany, which was awesome. And week before that was David Ippolito.
There you go.
We just came back just this Saturday. We went to Dave Ippolito's show in New York City after we had Hell's Chicken.
That was some good stuff, man.
I would recommend it. A little tiny place up in Upper West Side, I guess. Mm-hmm. We didn't get into the place we wanted to go, but it was right next door.
It's a great place to go to when you can't go where you want to go.
It was pretty damn good. And we went there and we went to Dave's show. And although he forgot to mention our podcast, I'll let it slide. Good concert.
He's not on my list.
I like folk music for a while. But then after a while, like, it's like listening to James Taylor albums on repeat. It's like, woof. You know. But he's a super duper talented guy. You could tell he's having fun up there.
Had a lot of energy. Had a lot of guests up there.
Musicians he was with were good too. Mm-hmm. The girl singer and the
I love the girl singer.
She's
my favorite. And I get really pissed off when I go into iTunes and put in there the girl singer and she doesn't pop up.
Yeah. And the guy that sang about the elephant. They were good. So, again, big thanks for Dave for having us out. It was a great night in the city. Don't get to go out there too often. So,
pleasant surprise.
The most pleasant surprise. Four seats down from us was one of my favorite guys, Bill Nye.
Yeah.
Bill Nye, the science guy. And if you saw,
of all places, you'd figure you'd bump into Bill Nye.
Yeah, it was one of those guys I never thought I'd bump into. And usually I don't give a shit about like getting a picture or something, but I had to. I had to run and get. Now, it's not the best picture. Bill Nye looks like he drank some crazy science drink.
I was about to say, he looks a little bit out of it. Maybe that's why he said yes to it.
Yeah. But then he handed me a card that said, I took a selfie with Bill Nye. Now, go check out his Planet website. But, he's like, they bring him in on like environmental summits to like come solve things. Like him and Neil deGrasse Tyson, like super smart dudes. Those are the kind of dudes who should be running for president. Celebrities that should run for president. Although I know you're a big Trump guy.
Oh, totally, man. I mean, he speaks right to the heart, man. Making fun of handicapped people. Getting rid of a religion. I mean, that's up on my list. Wasn't my first pick.
You've never
Islam.
Liked Mexicans either. You've never liked
them. Not a single one. That's why I wasn't a big fan of Carlos Vera. And he keeps on saying, I'm not Mexican. I'm like, shut up. Mm-hmm. Don't even try it.
Right. Like Donald Trump said, same thing. Same difference, you know?
Yeah. If you eat a taco, get out of my country.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why you boycott Mexican restaurants.
You
hate Chi-Chi's.
Of course,
you've always hated Chi-Chi's.
Chi-Chi, like, goodbye.
You've been constructing that wall around your apartment for a couple years now.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a little slow, though.
Well, a little slow to develop.
It's a pillow fort in my apartment. I still yell at Hispanic people, no, don't you think about it. But they just go, okay, and they keep walking and all. That's a sign of war to me.
A little strange that it's taking a little while, considering you won't hire the Mexicans to build the wall. How many people do you think have done that joke at an open mic in the last 3 months in the country? Like, Donald Trump wants to build a wall.
Who's going to build it?
Who's going to build the wall?
I went there. You hear that? I heard it, Timmy. That was amazing.
What a good joke. What a good joke. But, yeah, I hope Trump works out for you. I know you're a big Trump supporter.
Oh, my God. I'm going to vote for him 6 times.
Yeah, you're going to sneak in as different names.
Yeah,
and
I'm gonna grow a mustache. Mm-hmm.
You're gonna Bobby Valentine it.
Yeah, I'm gonna put a comb up there if I can't grow one. Dye my hair blonde.
Speaking of great segues. This is great. talking about music. I know I sent this to you a while ago, but we never acknowledged it on the show. And that's a Heavy Source. Are you into Heavy Source?
Don't remember you sending me that.
Well, that's good because it's even better that you get to experience it now. Heavy Saurus is they're a metal band.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But they're a children's metal band, and they're made up entirely of dinosaurs.
Ooh.
Yes, they are a heavy metal dinosaur band from Finland.
Well, I mean, where else would you find the dinosaurs of heavy metal.
And according to their
Sweden, I think not
Wikipedia, they got a movie coming out. Those Dudeton guys, I remember they were part of like what's that other show that was kind of like Jackass with Travis Pastrana and all them? I don't know. I forget the name of it. Slipping, but the Dudesons opened and Heavy Source opened up an indoor amusement park. would you like to know the members of Heavy Source?
Let me think. Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, the vocals are by Hera Heavy Source.
Oh, okay.
The keyboards by Millie Pilly.
Ooh.
Yeah. The drums by Compy Mompy.
Oh, wow.
The guitar by Riffy Raffy, you know, not the Raffy that sang Baby Beluga.
I was about to ask.
I wonder if he's around. And then the bass.
That's what he's doing right now.
The bass is my favorite. He's naturally, I like bass players. He's a Muffy Puffy. Muffy Puffy.
When Muffy just goes into that guitar solo, man, I mean, it's over, man.
But I would just like to say, how many albums do you think a band like Heavy Source has?
Well, I mean, the obvious pick would go low, so I'm going to guess 6.
You are on the money. They have an album in 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 2015. Now, of those albums, in 2012 was their highest ranking album in Finland. Where do you think it ranked?
They love their heavy metal out there, and, and it's a novelty act. Mm-hmm. I am going to say,
tried to find them on Twitter and contact already. It hasn't haven't really got good luck.
I am going to say 8.
Number one. They were the number one album in Finland for a little bit. Would you like to hear a clip of Heavy Source? Take a look at them too.
Yes,
let's take a look. Here we go.
Show me your love.
There they are. Podcast might be a little hard with them.
Yeah. Spent $2,000 on a Finnish translator, but it was well worth it.
Heavy Saurus! Yes.
Not the mama.
This reminds me of the Ninja Turtles tape I used to have. They performed live with Splinter.
I remember.
Coming out of my shell.
Skipping stones.
They kind of got like an AC/DC vibe going.
Yeah. I can't lie, I'm kind of digging this.
Woo!
I can't deny that's a good rhythm.
It's a good song, right? Good song.
Watch out, Tooth Grinder.
Yep, I would see that tour. Tooth Grinder opening for Heavy Source. But I was looking through my notes, and I guess we never talked about it. I remember I think I sent it to you on YouTube or something like that, but on Facebook. But how can we deny Heavy Source?
Heavy D touring with Heavy Source would be the only thing more epic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The D stands for dinosaur.
Yeah, really?
Yes. Wow. Little known fact.
Wow.
I mean, they tried to sue him, but he's like, nah, this is an homage to you.
Mm-hmm. We're bringing the heat today.
We are so prepared for today's podcast.
You had time off from work.
Yes, I did, Scotty.
You had time off from work, and usually your time off from work consists of you taking some trips and some time to clear your head and get the cobwebs out and relax a little bit and see some things. So I think you're going to grace us with Berlew's Week of Discovery.
Yeah.
Part 2.
Berlew's
Week of Discovery.
Scott, I got to be honest with you. Discovery. It took a little while to get into that mood of discovery. And let me tell you why. I mean, on Thanksgiving, my plans kind of fell through, and I basically spent Thanksgiving alone, so I was kind of bummed out.
That's really sad.
During the weekend, you know.
You should have came here.
I'm not a kind of imposing one. It was one of those things where it's like there was plans, then when I contacted people, it's like, oh, no, we're doing with this people. I contact those people. They're like, no, we're not doing anything. And
so what did you end up doing?
I sat at home and ate macaroni and cheese.
I want to cry right now. I want to cry. I think you got to bring that to an open mic. Talk about your Thanksgiving alone. Mac and cheese.
I'm kind of thinking about how to combine it with my one before. If you remember my Facebook status from the year before, it involved me saying how I was playing with a pit bull with a bowling ball, and the pit bull was barking at a car that was on concrete blocks. And now it was the one on the right, not the other one that was in the yard, because they wanted to play with the bowling ball. And I kept on trying to throw said bowling ball, but the dog was too fast, so I was worried I was going to have to go to the emergency room with the dog on Thanksgiving.
It's Burlow's Week of Discovery.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell a vet how you accidentally threw a bowling ball at a pit bull.
They're like, you again?
No, I can explain the javelin this year. And then when we were inside our house and all, the house that's been foreclosed for 4 years, but 9 people live in it. We were eating turkey and we kind of yelled at the dog because, you know, you're trying to give him a treat of turkey and he's not taking it. He's like, you dumb dog, this is a turkey, you eat it.
Right.
What we found out was everybody was giving him turkey because he vomited on the floor and it was just like a pound of turkey meat just thrown.
Burlow's Week of Discovery.
Yeah, that was last year's Week of Discovery.
Burlow's Week from last year's Discovery.
All right, so so it took me a while. I was kind of out of stuff. And then, like, the following week, there was a lot of stuff where it's like, they're like, well, we got this emergency work, and we're going to need you to be available for certain days, which meant I couldn't really do any traveling. So I was really kind of bummed out and kind of things. And it just, about midweek through, I found out everything got canceled. And it kind of cheered me up.
Canceled.
So I tried to do something different. I wanted to try some exotic food.
Exotic.
So I looked up on the internet and I found that
Google.
It was...
Google.
There was this place, I think it's called Sargentville Inn. And it had various different meats and all. I was looking I was looking at possibly eating venison for the first time.
I like venison.
Kangaroo they offered.
Never had kangaroo.
And there was some other stuff. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. Drive an hour to get there. And one thing I realize in life, when a restaurant has a website, you might want to update it with certain kind of items, such as, FYI, we had a major fire 3 months ago, and we're closed right now.
So they don't have jerky there, like, after the fire?
It was just construction people. They were very unpleasant when I asked them for a
So
menu.
Far this week is like, very depressing. I feel like I should have picked sadder music.
So, I Googled another place.
Google.
And I went to New Brunswick, and I had wild boar nachos.
Wild boar nachos.
It was intriguing.
Yeah. They got like a pork taste to it, right? I think I've had wild boar before.
It's not bad. It is what it is. It's gamey, but it was a good taste, so I had that. And, around...
The week's starting to... That was the first sign of it turning around.
Yeah.
Wild boar nachos always turn around my week.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I joined the depression hotline, I told them, don't jump off the bridge, eat a kangaroo.
Mm-hmm. That's probably not the best meat for jumping.
Yeah, that's a good point. That would explain why I lost that job.
That'll explain why that guy is no longer here.
So, on a whim, basically,
When?
On the Friday, I woke up around 9, and that's when I found out the second part of my work wasn't needed. So I just said, screw it.
Screw it.
I drove down to Delaware.
Delaware. Hi. I'm in Delaware.
Yes, I am. Mm. And I went there to see one of your favorite breweries.
My favorite.
The Dogfish.
Dogfish Head Brewery. In, what's the name of the town? Milton?
Milton, Delaware.
Awesome brewery.
Very awesome brewery. Very awesome tour. Talked to a few people. They told stories.
People.
They told stories how they had this like lookout area where their plan was to build a zip tie, and basically the person who...
You mean a zip line?
Yeah.
Yeah, zip tie would be one of the things that, like...
Yeah, you know, they tried to build a zip tie.
It was really hard. They brought engineers in from all over the world. Couldn't figure it out.
They brought in Bill Nye. Can't be done.
It's just impossible.
I'm a science guy, but that's impossible.
I've split the atom, but I can't make a zip tie, damn it. Okay.
So they were building a zip line area, but basically the founder, Sam
Calogione,
his wife vetoed it on the premise of, I know you're going to get drunk and you guys are going to kill yourself.
See, women
on
just
the
always
line.
Ruin all the fun.
Yeah.
They always ruin the fun.
Oh, I guess you don't want me to die.
Oh, you just want to be. She would get the whole business.
Yeah.
What does she care?
Yeah.
Because it's owned by the two of them, so she would have full custody, full share of the business.
Well, actually, they own 85%. They actually sold off 15%.
Oh, those scumbags. Yeah. They said they'd never do that.
Yeah, and sure when he dies, she'll just sell it off to Budweiser.
Yeah. When he does install the zip tie.
Yeah. So after the tour, I went back, and they had some exotic beers that they don't sell in the stores.
Exotic meats, beers, life.
Well, what do you think? I think I told you to answer, but what do you think I drank? What kind of beer?
Should I pretend that I don't know?
Yeah, sure.
You drank a dill pickle walnut flavored beer.
No, but they sell dill pickles.
They
there.
Do. I've had them.
Hops.
They're good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a chocolate lobster stout.
Mmm. It's like a chocolate starfish, right?
Yeah. Well, Dave. Ooh. Where's that open mic? Hold up. And that kind of leads to my next place.
Yeah, so chocolate. Now, I explain as a beer loser, like when you hear oyster stout, it doesn't really mean that it's going to be tasting like oysters. So people, don't be afraid of it. It means that it puts a certain amount of salt in the water, and it changes the salinity of the water.
Well, they actually use lobster in their chocolate.
No, I know. Like they use oysters and oyster stouts too, but it's like you'll never get like it's not gonna taste like a fish beer.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't half bad. I mean it wasn't something I would get a six pack of, but I mean I could get the sense of basil in there.
Basil.
And like we were talking, me and a couple people who did the tour, they're like, "Well, you taste lobster." I'm like, "I don't do that. I taste. I guess they use like salt water," and then they explain, "No, that's." That's what the lobster is. That's what you're tasting in there. Mm-hmm. So.
The week's starting. I can feel the stress coming off your shoulders as you're sucking down lobster ale.
And then I took a 2-hour trip from there.
Hours. 120 minutes.
I went to the Baltimore Aquarium.
Fish.
Yeah. And I got to enjoy for, they were open for another 2 hours. I toured the whole place. I toured it about 3 or 4 times just to get the whole experience there.
Now, what thing did you go back to? A lot. What really got your goat?
I liked the sharks.
You liked the sharks?
I liked the sharks. Mm.
What kind of sharks did they have? Hammerheads?
They had the, what's the one with the long nose?
A swordfish?
There you go.
Or the...
No, it's
sawfish.
Yeah, that thing was kind of cool.
Sawtooth shark.
I like the Australian exhibit where they had things like
kangaroos.
No, they didn't have them there.
What kind of Australian exhibit is that?
Well, like they don't really swim that well.
It's like a deer wearing one of those hats.
That'd be great. They just dumped a kangaroo into the water. Water too deep. Can't hop for nothing.
The Australian exhibit.
Yeah, they had crocodiles.
Ooh, caimans.
And I also like the Arctic area where they had, I think they're called poppins.
Yes, they are. They look like little penguins almost.
Yeah, they were very cute. They were splashing around. And
did you have a favorite one? Was there one that really you were like, aw?
No, I mean, they were all cute.
Did you talk to the penguins like you talked to my dog?
No.
Be honest, at any point did you say, hello, hello, poppin?
Yeah, a poppin wouldn't sound like that.
Oh, what would a poppin sound like, bro?
Ah.
Oh my god. Thank god for editing. editing. Okay, so you saw poppins and crocodilians and,
yeah.
And zip ties.
And then from there I stopped off at a local restaurant, had me some crab cakes.
Crab cakes, Baltimore.
Yeah.
Feeling the vibe, the local flow.
And I enjoyed that and I went home afterwards, and then the next day we were up in New York City for some folk music.
How could you end that better? You're in New York City for folk music. So the week did
and
turn
hot
out.
Chicken.
The week did turn out good for you then.
It turned out all right, yeah.
Okay. Well, when can we expect the next week of discovery? We know you like to bunch your days together and take a week here and there.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to have it this year just because the show's so short staffed that can't really take another full week, so. Mm-hmm. Look forward to 2016.
All right. Until next time, enjoy Berlew's Week of Discovery. Yeah. Whew. All right. Well, I got lost there for a second. I got lost.
Yeah.
I got lost. Got a little deep. Got a little deep, but I think we should... We should get ready for our guest.
Yeah.
Let's get ready for our guest, and hopefully he's ready to go. But, so, Berlew, you brought this guy. Now, this is probably, out of all our guests besides Brian Duffy, this has been the one we've been working on the longest, probably, to get on.
Yeah, I actually looked up the email. You want to take a guess how long we've been emailing back and forth with him?
I think it's probably been since around the Paul Templer time, so like at least 50 episodes ago.
I don't know episode math. I know calendar math.
Oh no. Well, 1 year.
1 year, a little bit more than that. One
really?
Year and 1 month.
1 year,
November 14th.
Wow.
2014.
All right. Well, why don't you tell the listeners who we have coming on here.
We have a person coming on to the show. He has his own website. He's known for doing various reviews of not your general movies, if you will. The gentleman's name is Brad Jones, a.k.a. the Cinema Snob, best known for being on That Guy with the Glasses. He's best known for the Cinema Snob character, where he reviews exploitation movies, old classic movies, porno movies, items like that. He's also done movies of his own for himself, such as the Cinema Snob movie, Paranoia. Just very entertaining guy to kind of listen to. One of my favorite guys to listen to weekly on stuff.
And this is Brad Jones, the Cinema Snob.
Hey, what's up?
Well, hello there. Sorry we had a little technical difficulties, but this is this the Cinema Snob himself?
Yep, it's me.
Well, welcome to the Verbal Shenanigans Show. This is Scott Brennan, my cohort Michael Berlew, who you've been emailing and talking to, and I'm sorry about that, but, you know, someone's got to do the emailing around here.
A year in the making.
Oh, it's all good, man.
So can you hear us all right? Everything sound good to you?
Yeah, everything sounds fine.
Beautiful. So, Brad, welcome to the show. And we were just talking other than the guests we had on last week, we have been kind of going back and forth for Berlo. Checked our first email was over a year ago.
Was it really?
Yeah, yeah, November of last year.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Well, I think the one time we had you scheduled, that was that weekend you fell off your porch and, like, separated your shoulder or something like that.
Oh, yeah. That was a fun week.
You fell off your porch?
Yeah, I was feeling good and high that week.
I was going to say, there had to be something going on.
Yeah.
You don't just, like, fall off your porch randomly most times.
Well, I do. I got horrible balance.
Yeah, well, a lot of horrible things about you.
Slapstick isn't as fun when you see it, when it happens in real life.
No, it's still funny for everyone else.
Oh, yeah, that was there was nobody else around.
Damn it, why did you tape that?
Yeah, I was performing for nobody.
So, Brad, let's you know, I don't always like to start at the beginning, but let's start a little bit. You now have this pretty large YouTube following on the videos you put up. How often do you put them up?
At least about 3 new videos a week.
Wow.
Like every week there's typically going to be a snob episode, usually on Monday. And then Friday there's the midnight screenings, which on average there's at least about 2 of those a week. And when I kind of want to take a break, I'll throw up something from the archive onto YouTube, because I migrated back onto YouTube a few months ago when our previous video hosting site shut down.
Yeah, Pornhub does suck.
Right? I don't know why I was on there to begin with. I have to block out all the porn.
So when did this idea start? How far back are we going here?
For the Cinema Snob, about 2007,
okay.
I believe.
They're coming up on 10 years.
It was, honestly, it was really just kind of like, I had a lot of free time. It was just kind of a lark. Because I'd done a few movies. I'd written and directed some exploitation movies. And I worked a part-time job, and I didn't have to be there very often. I was there about a few hours a day, so I had a lot of time to kill. And at the time, there wasn't, like, a lot of shows like this that were kind of about the exploitation angle. And it's usually been kind of funny for me to read reviews of exploitation movies from, like, really highbrow critics where it's kind of not their thing.
Right.
But they're still kind of funny about it, like reading, like, 0-star Roger Ebert reviews of, like, Guyana Cult of the Damned and Caligula.
Caligula, huh?
Grave,
0 stars?
The final chapter. So I wanted to do something with that. And I made, like, a handful of episodes and put it on YouTube. And it had a very, very, very small following, but I liked doing it, so I just kept on at it, and it turned into what it is today.
Now, when you were doing these videos, I mean, nowadays, they're just so crazy with, like, the copyrights. How often do you deal with that? I mean, when I was reading up on you, I read how somebody from Nail Gun Massacre contacted you.
Oh. Yeah,
those bastards.
I started out on YouTube. Like, the first year or so I did the show, I was on YouTube, and then I moved over to Blip TV, and then that that is no longer in existence. So I'm back on YouTube now, and yeah, I was never really sure if it was the DVD company or if it was somebody involved with the movie who was upset about using clips from Nail Gun Massacre. And nowadays, like, that is harsher on YouTube now than it ever was on Blip TV. But the experience I've had so far, knock on wood, has been fine. You kind of know what companies are going to be a little harsher towards it than other ones. And when you end up getting a notice about copyright, they kind of tell you what clip they have a problem with, and you can appeal it. Usually that'll be fine. They'll still let it go through, but there is some companies in particular particular that are like, yeah, no, we're sticking with this. So, but they tell you what part they have a problem with. And the times I've had to deal with that, I just kind of cut that part out and it's been fine.
Yes. So you start doing this, like, when do you start noticing that it starts getting some traction? Like when you notice the views are going up, like what about it do you think just started growing?
I know it gets traction when I got manure sent to my house.
You got manure sent to your house?
I did, yeah. I got ladybugs.
So you got my package.
My house, worms.
I thought that package never made it. I'm glad it got to you.
Oh, right. Thank you, man. I was starting to plant my garden. We're just reenacting Back to the Future in the backyard. We got the manure, so we really needed it. What I started getting some heavy traction when I was promoted by Noah Antweiler, the spoony one online. He hosted a couple of my videos. This was when I went off YouTube and moved over to Blip. He's the one who actually gave me the advice to move over to Blip. So I moved over to Blip, and then I started my own site, because when I was originally on YouTube, I didn't have my own site. I just posted it on YouTube. Then I started my own site, moved everything towards Blip, started a handful of other shows so I would at least have kind of a library. Noah gave me a huge bump when he promoted me. And then once I kind of had a decent enough library, I applied to Channel Awesome, which at the time, that guy with the glasses, and I was picked up. And I've said that was a big boost, and being in their anniversary Kickassia was a big one too, and it's grown ever since. We've been doing really well.
Yeah, I mean, I see videos with over hundreds of thousands of hits and stuff like that. That's got to be a pretty damn awesome feeling, especially since it seems like you are just doing something you really enjoy doing.
Yeah, we like keeping things fresh, you know, because we don't like doing like the same things that we did 6 years ago.
That's weird, because on the podcast we like keeping things very stale. We like to repeat things over and over again.
I want to ask you about Y2K. Are you concerned about it nowadays?
Oh, crap. Did my time machine work? I was wondering why I'm wearing, like, flannel with a t-shirt.
Our motto is, the same is good on our podcast.
Yeah.
I know, right? Like, I mean, like the Cinema Snob still exists as a show, but I'm constantly adding different kinds of movies to do on there. When the show first started out, it was strictly just, like, exploitation movies. Now, you know, within the past couple of years, we've thrown in, like, WTF Hollywood movies, or more notable slasher movies, or now, like, a few weeks ago, I did Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas, and Medea Christmas, Grumpy Cat Christmas, things that, like, 5 or so years, even a year ago, I wouldn't have done. So constantly adding things to that show, and also doing other new series. Like, we have an animated series called Lloyd about a private detective cat. We're constantly going to new movies for the midnight screenings. We're planning a new movie too. We're always planning new things to throw out there.
That's awesome. Now, where are you based out of?
Springfield, Illinois.
Oh, okay. So outside of Chicago, or?
About 3 hours south of Chicago.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you later on, but you just brought up Christmas movies. Let's instead of just talking about your career right now, let's talk a little movie stuff, okay?
Yeah.
If you had to pick Mount Rushmore of Christmas movies, okay? The Mount Rushmore, so the top 4 Christmas movies. Uh-huh. What would your pick be? I'll tell you mine first. It's got to be Christmas Story.
Okay. Right.
Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
It's a Wonderful Life. And I'm going to throw in, I'm a fan of Elf. I'm a fan of Elf. Those are my top 4. That's my Mount Rushmore of Christmas. Mm-hmm. And It's a Wonderful Life in black and white, because if you're one of those weirdos that watches the color version, you just deserve to drown.
If you're Ted Turner. Yeah.
What about you? You've probably seen 3,000 more movies than I have, so.
If I'm sitting around with, like, family and whatnot, you know, my You know, my favorite is probably Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Oh, that's a good one. Very underrated.
Good one.
Oh, so good, man.
Solid pick.
A Christmas Vacation, at least once or twice a year.
Shitter's
Christmas
full.
Christmas Story. The Alistair Sim Scrooge is really good. If I'm sitting around by myself. The Mystery Science Theater. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. I play that every Christmas Eve, every night of Christmas Eve before I go to sleep. I always have that on. Other things I like to throw in just for me, you know, like Silent Night, Deadly Night, or Christmas Evil. if Lethal Weapon and Die Hard are on, right on, man.
That's true.
Those are classics, you know, but those are like, you know, I'm not. Probably not going to be sitting around with. Well, like me and my dad would sit around and watch like Die Hard, yeah, or like
Home Alone One's up there too.
You know, there's like a crowd of people. Typically, Silent Night, Deadly Night doesn't get thrown on. Mm-hmm.
Home Alone One would probably be my fifth. That would probably sit in the fifth spot.
Yeah, I remember sitting in line for like it was out for like 4 weeks, and I remember there was still a line like.
What,
across the
Alone?
Street for Home Alone in the theaters. I remember that.
What about you, Berlo? Your Mount Rushmore.
Let's see. Charlie Brown Christmas.
Good one.
That's always a good one. Elf is always a classic. And all I saw that in the theaters. I really loved that one.
I saw the play. My ex-wife's mom bought us tickets. That was the worst play I've ever seen in the entire life.
They did a play of Elf?
I'm not a play guy. But they turned it into like a complete musical, and it was just so
really
bad, so
I
bad.
I didn't even hear about that.
Well,
yeah, I think
good.
It's still out there. I think I saw the billboards when we were still in New York City.
Well, I'm sorry, wow. It was so bad. Yeah. Okay,
I'm trying to think what else. I mean, Die Hard. I mean, they call it a Christmas movie.
One
I always like to bring up, like you brought up, It's Wonderful Life. One
that's a great
scene
one,
I love in. Such a idiot horror movie, 976 Evil 2.
Yeah.
There's a scene where the guy's demonic because he called the number, Scott. I don't want to lose you right now.
Yeah, you're losing me.
Yeah. So he's like terrorizing this girl who got him into prison, and the girl's on the couch with another of her friends, and they're going back between Night of the Living Dead and It's a Wonderful Life. So while
and this is not a Berlo home movie.
No.
Okay.
No. So the girl he wants to torture goes out of the scene, and it's just a friend, and she's watching the Night of the Living Dead, and then he pops up on the commercial, and he zaps her into the TV, so she's in the scene of It's Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
And the bell rings. She's like, and the girl says, and all. You hear that, Daddy? Every time you hear a bell, a zombie sends somebody to hell. And then they all turn to zombies.
And wow.
And they attack her.
Is this a recent thing, or is this like an old thing?
976 Evil? No. Neither of them. I mean, well, one, they were using a payphone to call up, and was back in the Miss Cleo days of 900 numbers.
Yeah.
Miss Cleo, I miss her.
In fact...
can we get her on the podcast?
I don't know if she's still around.
I hope she is, because that's definitely what we're going to try to do after this.
In fact, the first movie, you know who directed that bad boy?
Obviously, I don't.
My buddy, Robert Freddy Krueger Englund.
Wow. Wow, tying it all together in a bow here.
I believe you mean Robert Phantom of the Opera England.
Ooh.
Well, the reason we bring that up is you'd find it interesting. My partner over here, he claims he had a lot of dreams growing up that involved Freddy. But the weird thing is that none of them were bad dreams. So, like, you know, like he told me that, like, they weren't being night terrors. They were just like me, like. With Freddy, like, you know, like going golfing, maybe like buying things for the apartment.
I think one I talked about off the air, I didn't say on the air. So like one time I dreamt I was in a wrestling ring and these two guys were being like the living crap out of me. And the commentators.
Freddy saved you?
Yeah, the commentators are like, oh, man, this is horrible. Somebody's got to come out and save him. And then like Freddy comes out and then it's kind of like the scene, I think, I forget, it's 4 or 5 where he like morphed into quote unquote Super Freddy. And he's, like, beating the shit out, but he had, like, the Ultimate Warrior paint all over him, and he's beating the
shit.
Wow. And it was great. I'm like, yeah, get him! Get him, Freddy!
We need to find you a hobby.
Oh. That was a great dream. I love my Freddy dreams.
Yeah, well, we know. We know. But anyway, Brad, so you now at this point, is the cinema snob stuff enough to make a living from, or enough to only do that, to devote only your time to being like an internet sensation and staying creative and stuff like that? Or do you still have to work like a day job? Or
no, that's been wow. That's been my full time job.
That's
now
amazing.
For 5 years.
That's amazing.
He puts out a ton of videos. I mean, did you hear the official news of Crystal Pepsi today?
Oh, I think about 100,000 people have said that on Twitter. And
fill me in.
Man,
fill
like,
me in.
When I knew they were going to end up re-releasing it because L.A. Beast had it went all out on it, man. Like getting like billboards and trucks and all this stuff. Like he deserved like all the credit in the world for that coming back. But I knew in my head, I was like, it's going to be some, when they bring it back, it's going to be some really complicated way they're going to do it. It's going to be like when they tried bringing out Pepsi Perfect and like that was like, you know, a crap storm. And sure enough, like it's like you have to download the Pepsi app and then on a specific date enter in these sweepstakes where you might or might not get a 12-pack of it sent to you. And I'm sitting there like, just re-release it.
It's like, funny. We have that same exact marketing. We have the same marketing plan.
Just re-release it.
I can say we have the same marketing plan to download our podcast. It's weird that no one's getting them.
Well, I'll start doing that with my snob episode. Enter in a lottery. You might see the Medea episode of the snob.
You were asking. Brad also has a series called Brad Tries, where he tries some of the older, like, foods and different
stuff. I think you told me that.
And Crystal a running Pepsi. Theme is he loves Crystal Pepsi.
Do you love it? Do you love it?
I did. That was an early episode of that show. We did a bottle of Diet Crystal Pepsi, and I remember when it first came out, I loved that drink. I was like, man, why did this get discontinued? This is really good. So we had like this 20-year-old bottle of Diet Crystal Pepsi, and that tasted like old seltzer water. And then I did like a yellowed 20-some-year-old bottle of Crystal Pepsi, and it was actually that tasted fine. Like, I mean, it tasted flat, of course, but it tasted no flatter than it would like a week later. It just happened to be 20 years later, and it was yellow.
Crystal Pepsi.
I tracked down like these other clear sodas, like not C cola. And that was
Nazi cola.
Yeah, it had an unfortunate name. It was not Notsee cola. And that tasted, granted, I'm going by like 20 plus years memory, but to me, like when I had that, I was like, this tastes a lot like Crystal Pepsi. And then I did a video on it, and sales for it like went up the roof, and I got like I got a free discount card for the company that put it out. I'm like, sweet, I'm gonna order some more Nazi cola.
The American dream.
Did. And now with Crystal Pepsi coming back, I'm like, excellent. I get to test and see if my memory of how it tasted is.
You should do like a blind taste test and see if you could pick out the new Crystal Pepsi.
I could do that because I know what. Not the taste of Nazi cola is fresher in my memory than Crystal Pepsi is.
I love that German soda.
So let me ask you, going back to the movies, when you do the midnight screenings, out of curiosity, what do you look more forward to when you do a review? Do you look forward to having like a good movie to tell people about, or you just love how people react when you see a horrible movie?
I love to just have a reaction, you know? I mean, certainly when you go to a movie, you want it to be good. Mm-hmm. But if it is bad, at least I hope I have something to talk about, you know. I've been to plenty of movies where afterwards I'm in the car and I'm like, I just got nothing. This is totally in one ear and out the other. It just makes it easier to talk about. Like, it is easier when you're just straightforward talking without a script or anything. It's certainly easier to pick apart stuff that you don't like, because you can just rattle that off the top of your head. When it's something that we go to that we really do love, we really do kind of have to think a lot about what we're going to say and what we want to say, because we don't typically want to spoil everything about the movie. So in videos like that, we tend to go off on a lot of tangents. Whereas the really bad movies, we kind of don't really care about spoiling it. We just hope we're at least passionate about something, whether it's awful or whether it's great. Like, it's the worst to us is just where we got nothing, or at least in talking about it, because sitting through something that's really awful is really bad.
Have you come close to falling asleep in the theater during a movie?
Yeah, I did last week when I didn't actually fall asleep, but I came close to that damn Mother Teresa movie I had to go see. Oh my God,
Mother
that
Teresa
was boring.
Movie, huh?
That was, you know, it's easy to say, like, oh, I would rather it be 10 kinds of hell and be sitting there pissed off and angry at the movie than bored, because at least then you have a reaction, which for the sake of doing a video, that's certainly very true. But man, like, while it is horrible sitting there just really bored, it's also horrible sitting there through something like Old Fashioned, where maybe I'm not necessarily bored, but man, that was enraging to sit through. I guess it's just two different kinds of things.
Right.
But that movie, The Letters, though, that was just watching. I can't even compare it to like a boring Sunday school class. It was just like watching paint dry at a boring Sunday school class.
Ah. Someone left that review about this podcast on iTunes.
Yeah. We're going to change the name to Watching Paint Dry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I only came close.
Listening to Paint Dry.
That would be great. That actually I fell asleep. Really kind of original if someone did that.
Well, it's yours. Just give us the rights.
Go for it. It's all yours, man.
I fell asleep during Godzilla with Matthew Broderick.
Where he drives the taxi out of the car.
Yeah,
that's
I fell asleep doing
fish.
It. Nope. Yeah,
I kind of felt like I was going to fall asleep in parts of the newer one.
I didn't see the new one.
I've done it twice and all. Once was just because I was super tired. It was at Rounders. It was like a 1 a.m. screening, and I was falling asleep, and I guess my feet were kind of pushing out because I hit a guy in the back of the head, and I almost had to get in a fight with a guy at Rounders.
Oh, that's a good movie, too.
I saw it later. It was an excellent movie. It wasn't because of the movie. The one movie I fell asleep at that because of the movie was Syriana. That atrocious. That's the one with
George Clooney.
Yeah. I mean, that was 2.5 hours of what the hell are they doing?
I never saw that. I never did see that one. That came out at. I think that movie came out when I think I was working at a video store when that came out. I kind of had to save a lot of money and I wasn't going to see a lot. Now I see about everything that comes out.
Yeah, I just basically fell asleep and I was with my parents and all. My mom woke me up halfway through and she's like, you fell asleep. I'm like, there's a reason.
Well, come to think of it, I never have actually fallen asleep during a movie. At home, certainly, but out in the movie theater, no. Not off the top of my head.
The only one I can think of was Godzilla. Now, do you, with the success of your videos and whatnot, do you actually, now get invited to go out and see premieres or anything like that? Or
no, because there's not really anything like that around Springfield. No. If I lived in a bigger city, like, possibly. But there's really no critic screenings around here, and even then I don't even know if I would qualify for it. Maybe, but like I don't know, because I know a lot of internet people are, but a lot of the internet people who are also have done like written reviews and things like that, which we don't do. I don't even, there's a difference, I think, between what we do and there's a huge difference between what we do and professional film criticism. Cause what we do is we're just a group of friends. We like going to movies and we, you know, shoot the blank about it afterwards. Am I allowed to curse on here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Say them all. Say them all right now.
We shoot the shit about it afterwards. That's, you know, what we do. If there was anything like that around here, that'd be great. But it is cool, like, because they do those preview screenings on Thursday nights, and we go to that. And those are nice, because those are typically less crowded than if we went, like, on a Saturday, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah. You ever see an exploitation film? I was in a bar one night, and they were playing a film called Hell Up in Harlem.
Oh, yeah!
I got the DVD! It's awesome! Yeah.
Fred Williamson, man.
Dude,
that's
awesome! It's awesome. It's just like, I don't even remember what the storyline is. I just remember a lot of black people shoot a lot of other black people.
The storyline was he survived the events of Black Caesar, and in this one, there is hell up in Harlem. It's the plot.
What else do you need?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, I remember, like, when I told about, like, my dad's cable box and some of the crazy stuff. My favorite is, like, Emmanuel in Space.
Oh, yeah, man. I grew up with Cinemax. When I was growing up with Cinemax, it was before Emmanuel in Space. It was Emmanuel the series.
There was a series?
Sylvia Christel was telling these stories to George Lazenby on an airplane, and then it was flashing back to them. And then the two of them do end up banging, but they, like, go into the bathroom on the plane, and when they come out of the bathroom, they're younger versions of themselves. Because I guess they didn't want to show them at their age having sex on Cinemax. I don't know.
Now, do you ever, like, through all the being a fan of, like, exploitation films and doing, do you ever think about, like, doing your own
exploitation movie?
Yeah, like a modern day one.
Like seven.
Well,
that's what I started out doing. I started out doing really micro budgeted exploitation movies. I did in 2003, I did a serial killer movie called Freak Out. I did a movie about snuff films called Cheap. I did an 80s cop movie called Midnight Heat. The Cinema Snob movie has a lot of exploitation tropes in it, like giallo flicks and stuff like that. I love this movie. I did a movie that I really, really, a lot of these I like. Some of them I have problems with, but this one in particular is probably the best one. It's called Hooker with a Heart of Gold. It's about a hooker with a literal heart of gold, and, like, gangsters are after her.
Now, what is the goal of, like when you're writing that, like, how do you write it, like, to I mean, you're obviously trying to make it entertaining,
yeah,
but funny at the same time. Like, how do you try to keep an audience but yet make it ridiculous? Like, what is the goal of the movie for you?
For Hooker with a Heart of Gold?
No, just like any, like, things you want to do, like the exploitation films one. Like, oh, what? How do you keep an audience?
It depends on the movie. For Midnight Heat, that's a movie I like a lot. It's this 80s cop movie I did in 2007. That movie, I wanted to make a sleazy 80s cop movie, like something like Vice Squad, that was dark and just full of, like, really pretty raunchy dialogue and sleazy characters and everything. I wanted to make something like that. That was just what I wanted to do. So I didn't want to make it parody. I didn't want to make it self-aware. I didn't want to make all of these, like, in jokes about how it takes place in the 80s. I didn't want to do anything like that. I just wanted to straight up make something like a movie like Vice Squad, like something that would exist back then. Granted, you know, I mean, it's shot on, like, these Hi8 tapes and whatnot, so the quality's not going to be as good. But hopefully I could write it good enough in a way that people would see past like the technical limitations of it. That's just what I want to do. Like, I'm putting myself in that mindset of somebody watching it. I would want to watch something that really felt like something of that era without being parody. That's the mindset I was in that movie. Hooker with a Heart of Gold is more of a comedy. It's not a spoof. Like, it's just more, it's kind of like a romantic comedy infiltrates an exploitation film. But it's the characters in it play it. That was doing a bunch of different things. Like, it was, the villain was kind of like a Godfrey Ho movie. That movie was kind of more like mixing different genres, but not having it turn into just all out spoof. Like, even the Godfrey Ho type villain in it is humanized. Like, he is like actually kind of a real threat to what's going on, even though he's over the top, like a Godfrey Ho villain. I don't know. It's just kind of just respecting your audience.
Speaking of spoofs, when are we going to get Human Starfish 3?
Oh, Human Spider 3?
Oh, Spider, sorry.
Oh, man.
Human Starfish.
I don't know. I that would be cool if that would happen. I mean,
you can't find like 80 people to dress up as prisoners and
know, right?
Go butt cheek to butt cheek, three and all.
Yeah. Noah and I have talked about it, and we've talked about it before. I think he even has a script for it. But I think he said something like the budget for it was way too high, which is kind of amazing. I don't know. Hopefully sometime that'll happen. I hope it does.
Who's your like go-to like actor nowadays? What like kind of movie, if an actor's in, you just like, damn it, I'm there. I don't care. I love it.
Oh, off the top of my head, who do I still watch anything Nick Cage is in.
Nice.
I do. Like, in fact, I'm a little behind. He's had a couple that were out recently that I haven't gotten to yet. Yeah, I'll still kick back, watch some Nick Cage movies.
Nice. Stallone, too?
Oh, yeah. Stallone, by far. Like, totally. Like, Stallone's got a movie, I'm there opening weekend. Schwarzenegger's
Creed?
Got a movie, I'm there opening weekend. Jason Statham, too.
Did you see Creed?
Yeah, Creed was great.
I heard it was good. I'm actually thinking about maybe actually going. I don't go to a lot of movies, but I was thinking about maybe going to see that, actually.
Oh, that one you should totally check out. If you're in like a seasonal horror movie mood, check out Krampus. That was really good.
I heard that. My parents told me that. You know what would be great for the Creed series? Like the next one should be Creed 2, but then after that, it should be the sons of all his opponents afterwards.
Yeah.
Like we should have Clubber Lang Jr.
That'd be
the
cool.
Movie.
Like,
Yeah. Ivan Drago's kid. Totally.
Boris Drago.
I heard your ring was outside. Who told you that? Well, I'm the son of Tommy Gunn.
Everything but Rocky 5. The other ones are representable. I even thought the last Rocky one wasn't that bad. Like,
I loved Rocky 6.
Yeah,
Rocky Balboa was awesome.
I didn't think it was that bad. Like, my favorite part is they're like, yeah, well, Adrian's dead. Now we'll start the movie.
Now we got that out of the way.
I loved it. I loved that one. Five is easily like the
by far.
Yeah, it's the least watchable out of all of them, even though I say that, but I've seen it a handful of times.
Yeah, see, I've tried.
There's at least, like, as bad as 5 is, there's at least, you know, like, well, George Washington Duke is really fun in it.
Oh, the one that played the Don King character.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, I've tried to watch it, like, when there's marathons on, I'm like, oh, let's give it one more chance. I can't get through it.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I think they should have him fight the robot, Rocky.
Right?
Yep. Fight the robot from Rocky 4.
Seiko the robot. Oh, yeah. I love that thing.
Does that weird scene where, like, his uncle, it was almost, like, erotic as he was coming in, like, giving him beer. That was, like, the weirdest freaking thing.
I read a really good story about how one of the reasons why Stallone was really gung-ho about this robot in the movie is Seiko the robot is designed to help children who have autism. And so Stallone was coming up with all of these scenes for the robot to add into the movie. And a lot of them ended up getting cut because they just totally didn't work with the rest of the
movie. Hope somewhere on some film there's like a training sequence with him and the robot in the snow.
A lot of it was like there's this whole subplot about how like Polly and the robot are like this odd couple, like Felix and Oscar, where the robot is like giving him crap because he's too messy.
I just picture like, you know, like Rocky, like doing those sit-ups off like the barn and lifting all these logs, and the robot being able to lift like 10 times more than him, and he's getting pissed off at the robot.
Man, I want to see that.
I need that.
I don't know. If it's a good robot in a movie, it's Johnny Five for me. I'm sorry, guys.
Johnny Five's good.
Hell yeah, Johnny Five.
That's the one series I will accept a reboot, as long as he's not CGI.
I'm against there being a reboot. Yeah, of that, me just too. Because I know it'll be CGI.
Yeah, and you know it's going to be terrible. Like, they're going to have, like, I don't know. Who would play, like, like, who would they pick for the actors?
I'd bring back Steve Guttenberg. I don't care.
Yeah.
Of course, that would be the logical choice.
He sent it to his Indian
choice.
Friend, and he's like, you know what? I miss you. It's been too many years.
But now it would be, like, Aziz Ansari and, like, someone else. You know, like.
We kind of did get a reboot of it with Chappie.
I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah, I didn't see Chappie.
Oh, check out Chappie. Like, that movie has so much wrong with it, but it's entertaining as hell. Like, it was basically like Neil Blomkamp saw like the part in Short Circuit 2 where Johnny Five was with that street gang, and then just took that and made a whole movie out of it. As in Chappie, he's even got like an Indian like guy who like invents him.
Don't we all? Deep down
inside, we all have a Fisher Stevens. So, like, yeah, in Chappie, it's Dev Patel. And then at the end, it's like this revenge movie with Chappie where he's, like, screaming out the F-bomb and throwing people through windows. It's like a hard R Johnny Five movie. Like,
awesome.
I was really entertained by it.
That's awesome.
I mean, with everything going on, I mean, what's the future plans? I mean, I know you pretty much make videos on everything from eating to going to the movies. What's on new on horizon for you?
Oh, man. I'm hoping, like, around the holidays to take a couple weeks off. But in 2016, we have Ryan and I are going to get to go. Ryan Mitchell, who's also on my site and he's also site manager. He handles all the business stuff that I'm too lazy to handle. he and I are getting together so we can really just kind of map out 2016. And one of the three main goals we're looking at is to get another exclusive DVD released. That's like the Nudies, Rudies and Crudies one we released last year. We want to do another uncensored DVD like that with just exclusive DVD episodes. And we want to do a movie too. We're going to be working on a spoof of religious movies. We've been wanting to do that for a while, and now it kind of seems like the right moment to do a movie like that with all the stuff like God's Not Dead, Old Fashioned, things like that coming out.
Awesome.
And also more episodes of Lloyd, the animated series.
Awesome, man. Now, if people want to go check you out, like they maybe want to tweet at you or see your stuff, maybe they've never heard of you when they're listening to this, where can they go?
Don't. Just leave me alone.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
All right. Leavehimalone.com.
I'm kidding. You can find me on Twitter at The Cinema Snob, and my site is thecinemasnob.com. A lot of people just check us out just right through YouTube, and our YouTube page is Stoned Gremlin Productions, youtube.com/Stoned Gremlin Production. Oh, I'm sorry, Stoned Gremlin Productions.
I guess I'll leave on one other story I'll tell you guys. I mean, going back to like the whole Cinemax stuff, I remember in the day, like every Friday night, like 10 o'clock and whatever, it would be like the nudie movie of the week, and I get all excited. I remember once I turned it on and Grease was playing,
yeah.
and I waited for an hour for boobs.
I
was just like, the singing is great, but come on, man, take off your shirt.
Grease Lightning is great, but come on.
Tight leather. It's so much easier to jerk off nowadays.
Thank God.
Man, yeah, I know, right? Like, back then, you know, it was good to have Cinemax, but even with that, you had to time it, you know? Like, you had to time it, like, okay, this Shannon Tweed movie is on at, like, 10 o'clock, so I gotta time my masturbation around then, and I gotta sit through the courtroom plot, and, okay, now she's having sex with Larry Poindexter, I can jerk off. And then the next night, it'll be, like, the Shannon Weary movie. Like, all right, I gotta time it again. Like, her and Maxwell Caulfield, they're like voyeurs and shit. Okay, I can do this. And then you have those nights where just nothing is on. So you're like, well, guess I got blue balls tonight.
No, I basically go to USA up all night and then just imagine what the rest was.
See, mine.
Yeah, you gotta go to the spank
bank. Mine was like back to the JCPenney catalog.
Right.
The bra section got me through middle school. anyway, Brad, I want to thank you for coming on. It's been a long time coming, and I'm very happy you came on. And we'd love to have you on again, maybe later in the year, and when you got some projects going on, and give us an update, and we could talk more terrible film and awesome film and all that fun stuff.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime.
Appreciate it, man.
It was an absolute pleasure. So please go check out Brad Jones. Please go check out The Cinema Snob. And Brad, thank you so much, and we'll talk soon, all right?
Absolutely. Have a great holiday.
You too, man.
See you.
All right, so we finally we got it done.
Got it done, man.
We got it in the books. We got it in the books.
Next on the list, Jamarcus Russell.
Yes, he's all the longtime guests. But yeah, Brad Jones, check him out and view his videos if you like film and stuff like that. He's definitely got an interesting take on.
He's an encyclopedia of movies. It's
I know
amazing.
He was throwing out names like I was like yeah. Should I know this guy?
Yeah, I kind of recognize the name of Chirpy, the one he said, but I'm still like I don't fully remember the movie. So
yeah, well, I think it's gonna bring us to an end because we are over the hour mark. We don't like to go too much further than that
unless it's UPWA.
Yeah, I was gonna, even though we've been always going over the hour mark. But, Berlew, anything to promote?
I will just do my page, facebook.com/TheBerl721. I'll be putting up some more material up there, start writing some more to go along with tonight on The Walking Dead. So hope you all enjoy that.
All right, and I will promote. I'm going to do my show in Pompton Plains. I will be hosting the first time for the Comedy Shop. Mark Riccadonna, Ritu Chandra's on the show, and... should be a good time, and I also want to promote the Road Rash podcast, the Road Rash podcast with Brian Duffy and Russell Davis. I almost forgot his name for a second. And Russell Davis, Brian was just on. Russell should be hopefully coming on later in maybe the month or next month sometime.
Awesome.
And that thing is about to launch. And if you go check out their artwork they just put up for the podcast, it looks freaking awesome. So I'm excited to listen to another podcast, always supporting the podcast.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I think that brings us to the end. Let's let Heavysaurus take us out. And
how can we come back from this?
No, I don't know. Life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the goddamn wind at your back. Keep following us on Twitter. Let us know who you want to get on the cast. We'll try. And please review us. Please review us on iTunes. Please. That helps us get cycled in. Goodbye, people. Christmas is coming. Get your shopping done.
Bye. I gotta buy their album, man.
Do it.